Good morning.
Morning.
So we have lots of friends down on the front row with us. We know them from Colorado long ago, and now they live in Pensacola. So we're happy to have them. They're the Gowans family. Well, at least three of them are. What's your last name? Bowman? And the Bowman family. So we're going to start with 209, who I just met this morning. So 209.
He's a real good friend.
Exactly. The three on this side are, yes. 209, come thou long expected Jesus. And I just missed something here. So go ahead and stand up while I reconstitute my phone here, because I wanted to explain what this is. As you know, I like to kind of, you know, at least teach myself something. So most of this is for me, not for you. So down in the lower right-hand side of 209, come thou long expected Jesus, that tells you kind of the origination of the hymn. This one in Southern would be Heifridol, but it's probably pronounced more like Havridol. It's Welsh. It means delightful, agreeable, pleasing, pleasant, beautiful. It's a Welsh hymn that is used in a number of other hymns that we sing. So this is one of them, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We will sing both verses of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. 209. Dr. Garland, could you open us in prayer, please?
Father, truly, the joy to be in your house with your people. Father, as we look for the long-awaited second coming of Christ, Father, the hope that we have because of him. Father, just cheer and warm our hearts through the music and through your words today, that we might truly be salt and light in these last days. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated. Turn to, where are we? 193. Behold the Babe of Bethlehem. 193. We will sing all three verses of Behold the Babe of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
And please turn to 211. This is our offering hymn this morning. 211, you can stand with me. We'll sing all three verses. And that wonderful fermata down there at the bottom, you can hold that, put it in a present, and someone can open it next Saturday. You can use it for something else. We're not going to use it. There's a song in the air, 211, all three verses.
Thank you. The birth of our Savior that we celebrate at Christmas occurred over 2,000 years ago, but the Christmas story begins long before that. To understand what happened on that night in Bethlehem, we must begin almost at the dawn of time. On the sixth day of creation week, and the week in which God was creating, on that sixth day, God made Adam and Eve and placed them in a beautiful garden. He gave them one simple restriction. They must not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they sinned and violated God's command. Apparently, that very evening, Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." This was the first promise of a seed who would be our Redeemer. Many generations later, God reminded mankind of his promise of a seed through whom he would provide redemption, and he identified a particular line of human descent through which this Redeemer would come. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The world would have to wait for centuries for this seed to come.
Oh,
Many more generations passed as mankind awaited their Redeemer. Eventually, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Yet still mankind waited. It was about another 8 centuries almost before the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her 6th month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
She believed.
Finally, the fullness of time had arrived. The promised seed was about to be revealed. Luke writes, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying one to another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger.
Run, shepherds, run, and hurry to Bethlehem. Run, see the baby lying in a manger. Run, shepherds, run, and hurry to Bethlehem. Christ the Lord.
The shepherds were not the only ones who acknowledged the Savior at his birth. There were others in distant lands who awaited the promised seed. Matthew writes, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly, and they felt exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." The seed, whom the shepherds and the wise men had worshipped, was also acknowledged by John the Apostle to be the Creator God who had come into the world as the light, the living Word, our Redeemer. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Father showed mankind his love for us by giving us this child. We too should worship and praise him."
Glory shall the dance of song.
This one whose birth we celebrate at Christmas did not stay a little child, a baby. He grew to be a man, the God-man, full of grace and truth, who gave his life and rose again for our eternal salvation. The risen Savior offers salvation to all who come to him in humble, repentant faith. He calls us to confess that we're sinners who deserve eternal damnation, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the one Lord whose death and resurrection can save us, and to ask his forgiveness. It was the birth of Christ that fulfilled the promise. His life fulfilled the law. His death paid the penalty for our sin. His resurrection conquered death and hell, creating the one and only means of salvation for those who believe. Adam's sin doomed us all, but through Christ, God has provided for our salvation. It would be remiss not to ask each of us to pause and think at this special time of year, as we remember the birth of our Savior. Have you surrendered your life to him? If not, will you surrender your life to him? At this point, this song, I'm going to ask the choir to sing this song while everyone else keeps our heads bowed in prayer. It's just a song of contemplation and prayer. I'm going to ask believers to offer prayers of gratitude and praise, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Christ. And if you're here without Christ, turn from your sin. Repent of your sin and turn to Christ. Tell him in prayer that you accept the gift of salvation that he offers. This time of prayer.
Thank you.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. May the earth receive her King. Program was intended to remind us of God's provision of salvation in Christ. But, you know, Christmas is a lot more than a time for family and friends. It is that, but it's a lot more than that. If that's all we make it, we've missed the point. It's a time for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's never a better time. So, before we close the service, take your hymnals, and we're going to sing a song about that. Number 205. Go tell it, a spiritual number. Go tell it on the mountains. Jesus Christ is born. Number 205, let's stand together and sing.
Go.
Brother Higdon, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks this morning for this blessed reminder of what this season is really all about.
Yes.
We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his substitutionary death and for his resurrection. Lord, we pray you, as Pastor said a moment ago, if there be anyone here who has never trusted him for salvation, may today be the day. May this season be one that they remember for the rest of their lives as the day they trusted him. Help us to declare that message, Lord, even as we've just sung. As we go out into the day, pray that you protect our travels, those that are traveling to see us, and we look forward to being together again at your time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.